You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday, Mr. Home Improvement himself, Mike McNamara, joining you. Oh, trust me, I crushed it yesterday. Then in the middle of it, my day, I hear a knock on my door. What's that? Kid from across the street says your flag is getting ready to break. Well, I go outside and it already broke. Flagstaff snapped in the wind here of the Santa Anas. So, anyhow, I got another project piled on. So I was like, okay, I got to get a new stick. And I've got to get a new receptacle for the flag that sits on the house, because the screw that goes in that pins the flag shaft into the receptacle, right? That screw is gone. I tried to replace it, but the machining of the screw didn't line up. Yeah, because it's machined. And I couldn't get it through there. So I had to buy a new receptacle. So I did that. As I'm in Home Depot, I think, you know what? Why don't I get a piece of metal pipe and stick that in there? Yeah, I'll spray paint it. So that's what I did. I got a piece of metal conduit, right? So, and my friend Rick, who lives next door, who's a Vietnam guy, he was an A-4 pilot, United States Navy type. So Rick's a craftsman. I mean, like, big time. But after he got out of the Navy, he built yachts. Yeah. And he built, you know, yachts and boats, and they're the kind that when you see them, you're like, oh man, the wooden ones. Right? Honestly, they're pieces of artwork in terms of craftsmanship. Yeah, he built those. So anyway, I take the two flagpoles to him that broke, or one broke and the other one was, but I have to have identical flagpoles, right? I can't have different flagpoles. So I take him the remnants of one, and it's got a ball on top of it. I said, hey, can you remove these balls so I can spray paint him gold? And he says, yeah. He said, what are you doing? So I show him. I have the piece of conduit. He goes, I'll cut it. I said, okay, well, I bought these, you know, they're not hooks, but they're circular. They're like things, screws with eyelets, right? And I said, the flags will clip on here, so I need to drill the hole. And so Rick does all that. So then we spray painted the flag, the poles themselves. And then, and in the midst of this, I'm putting new silicone around Colleen's sink yesterday. I'm painting a front piece of the house, and then I'm irrigating where I'm putting shrubs in front of the house. Yeah, so talk about multitask, Mac. Just crushing it yesterday. So yeah, Mr. Home Improvements. So I've got some. First of all, I want a reminder to everybody: don't get your panties or your pants or your underwear, whatever you wear, don't get them in a knot because the number of COVID cases. Okay. So the number of COVID cases is in the healthy part of our population, right, that has a 99.X, you know, survivability with that, right? Don't be confused when you see headlines, corona cases, you know, increase in Florida, New Jersey, wherever. That's not relevant, okay? It's a statistic, but it's not a relevant statistic. What you're looking for is hospitalizations and deaths, okay? So remember, the trick is, right, so we segment off the people that with high comorbidity factors and the elderly. You got to stay over here, okay? Everybody else, you can go about your life, okay? So do not be distracted by the headline of the case, okay? You can't do that. Okay. The next thing is I want to give everybody, and I want everybody to stop for a second, and I want you to pay attention. That's right. I don't do this very often, okay? But stop whatever you're fucking doing and write this down, because I'm going to give you some life advice now. Yeah, how about that? Okay, so here's the life advice. Listen first, okay? Listen first. In all these heated discussions, listen first, okay? And then at some point ask, what problem are we solving here? Okay, what problem are we solving here? I had the commandant, former commandant, Bob Niller, on yesterday, and honestly, I was a little bit frustrated with the interview because I wanted him to talk in greater detail, and I've got to wire brush him about this, but about the specifics of how do you manage this? Manage might not be the right. Yeah, it kind of is. How do you lead in this? And he didn't give me the specifics that I wanted, and I kind of reapproached it on about three or four different times. But so knowing, and I was looking. So how do you stop problems that are endemic in a community? How do you do that? Well, you got to take a hard look at it, okay? So in my mind yesterday, as I'm painting, right, as I'm doing some gardening, as I was actually doing stucco repair before I did the painting. The painting is just painting over my stucco repair. So I'm doing stucco repair on the front of the house. So I'm doing that. I glossed over that. I didn't mean to. Okay, so when you go to talk to this issue of police in the black community, I mean, there's certain things that, you know, as the debate gets going that you see, right? And I was listening to some black guy yesterday talking about this issue. He talked about the problem of teenage pregnancy that perpetuates poverty, that takes away opportunity, you know, in the black community. So I did a search, and I found an article on a website called cbcfinc.org. Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, The Village. Headline, Black Teen Pregnancy Stereotypes, or Are They? And the guy, recently my brother called to vent about an NPR report about teen pregnancy. Apparently a brouhaha had developed among some in the black community who saw the report as racially biased. They felt it reflected negatively upon African American and Latino women. As a D.C.-based attorney, my brother tends to approach social issues differently than I do. He's far more pragmatic in his thinking, much younger and very deliberate, even cutting at times. For me, one of the advantages of getting older is being able to look back on what has worked and what has not worked. As an ultra-liberal, I tend to rely more on historical accounts as predictors of trends and change. Ironically, we walked away finding agreement on one basic belief. It isn't a stereotype if it's true. Now, mind you, this is coming from, right, Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, right, website. In fairness, the teen pregnancy debate has raged in minority communities for decades. The numbers have ebbed and flowed for generations. At the core of the debate is one unmistakable fact. People don't really have to get pregnant. Out-of-wedlock births really are a matter of choice, a lack of foresight, and sheer irresponsibility. Now, this is not a white guy saying this, okay? Fight the stereotypes as we might, being sexually active and getting pregnant really are two totally different issues. Worse still is our inability to speak frankly about young men who exhibit no sense of commitment or responsibility in sharing in care and support of the child they help create. Can anyone blame outsiders from looking astounded and disgusted at such behavior? Statistically, the number of children born to young African American and Latino mothers, albeit down from a decade prior, should horrify us. In communities rife with violence, poverty, and educational deprivation, sexually irresponsible behavior portends a perpetuation of powerlessness and dependence among our people. And that's really an important point. Dependence, that's the point. That you take away choices because you got to go to work. You can't go to school, right? For children born from unplanned and often unwanted pregnancies, poverty, limited access to an adequate education, and a propensity for repeating the same cycle is often the result. According to one source, 48% of non-Hispanic black women get pregnant before the age of 20. Listen to that. 48% of non-Hispanic black women get pregnant before the age of 20. Of this group, 97% are unmarried and have little recognizable means of financial or emotional support. Less than 23% of fathers remain in the lives of the child or offer any financial assistance. Now listen to this. This is stunning. Sadly, more than a quarter of teen mothers will be pregnant again in less than 2 years after giving birth the first time. And then I'll just cut to the last two paragraphs. Let us be clear. We have become a society bent on technology and a sense of the immediate. We do a disservice to young people when we make excuses for their irresponsibility. If we are troubled at society's tendency to lambast us with stereotypes, then let's begin with corrective actions that make such claims lies, not accusations verifiable with a simple Google search. Now, this is written by George Cotton Sr. All right, and there's a picture of George Cotton Sr. He's a black guy. So, to me, when I say listen first and then ask yourself, what problem are we solving? And that's why, you know, I'll relate this back to the Commandant. That's my frustration yesterday. When you get all these people in a room, right? When you get all these people in a room and you hear the screaming and yelling that's going to happen at first, and then you proceed from the screaming and yelling to some discussion. And then where does it go from there? Okay? Where does it go from there? And so that's why you got to listen first. That's why you got to listen first. Now, Saturday morning, I woke up and so when you talk about facts and these other issues relative to, you know, what keeps us in this cycle, I mean, look at the murder. Chicago had the most murders it's ever had the other day. It had the most murders it's ever had on a weekend like a week ago, and the numbers are horrific, and they're predominantly black. So how do we, I mean, how do we change this shit? How do we as a nation confront this stuff? And my fear is all you're doing is you're seeing people scream at each other. Okay? And so that, so I wanted the commandant to talk about, look, first step is, right, you got to take the face shot. All right, which is what's going on now. People screaming and yelling. Okay, now we've got to get, hopefully, adults in the room. But the problem is you don't always get all the adults. So you're going to have to deal with everybody. Do you put the, do you open up to the media? I say no. If you're actually interested in making progress, you don't open up to the media right away. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have everybody's pride show up for the confrontation. And who's the confrontation going to be between? Well, it's going to be between the police and whoever shows up to contest the police version of events. And it's not going to be a small explosion. It's going to be a big explosion. So that explosion better done in private, in my opinion. It's better done in private. Okay, now, hopefully you proceed from that to let's all do what Max says and let's listen first. Let's listen hard. And then let's ask ourselves, what problem are we solving? Okay, so that's what I wanted the commandant to talk about. Maybe I'll get him back to talk about it after I wire brush him. And but I mean, the interview is a good interview. I mean, he's a pragmatic, down to earth, you know, normal guy. He talks about his father in the interview. He said my dad was a bigot, you know, and he might have changed towards the end of his life, but I'm not sure. He said, but I grew up with that. So. No, his frankness was awesome, and his willingness to come on is unique. So one of the reasons I like him. But anyway, so how do you have to allow that explosion to take place? Then you have to begin a discussion about, look, what problem are we solving, and why are we all here? Okay, and you have to have people from every one of those chairs that said, look, I want to make it better. I want to make this better for my community. And if you can start from there, and if you can get people to listen, then you got a chance at getting your hands around the issue, because the issue's not an easy issue. I just saw on my news feed this morning as I'm laying in bed, I am scrolling through Washington Post, right? Post a video of an unarmed black man being shot in New Jersey. So I'm like, oh, shit, what is this? Now, mind you, Saturday morning I spent with the 2018 statistics for shootings, and I read every one of them, unarmed black men, every one of them. And I'm going to read you my notes on every single one of them here in a minute. But I watched the video, and here's what happened. There's a guy, I thought he was drunk, who gets pulled over by a New Jersey highway patrolman. And the guy doesn't pull off to the right. He stops in like the, you know, 2.5 feet between the left lane limit, right? The left lane, you know, ending towards the inside of the interstate and this little partition. So there's no room, and it looks like they're partly hanging into the lane. And I thought he was drunk, and he comes out and he's kind of stumbling, and then he wants to walk to the passenger side of the police car, and the guy says, here, come get my car. Well, he sits in the car for about 20 minutes, and then he gets out, then he attacks the police officer, right? And the police officer's in his seat, in his vehicle. The guy gets out, and he's evidently attacking him. You can hear them. You can hear the yelling going on as they fight. And he uses pepper spray on this guy twice before he gets out of the vehicle. And so they fight. And as that thing escalates, the police officer shoots him and kills him. So you've got to look at every one of these episodes, right, and pull it apart. And I'm going to do it with you 16 times here in the next few minutes. Okay? And I just want you to listen to it, because there's themes in all of this. All right, so how do we get this number down? If you're interested in the truth and if you're really serious about solving this problem. And then I think what you're going to see is the whole question of systemic racism. Where? Show it to me. The systems that you're talking about, education primarily, are all run by liberals, right? The police departments that are having the most difficult times, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, are the ones in liberally controlled cities. So you're asking me to believe systemic racism in a country that has had a civil rights bill for the last 50 years. Show it to me so we can eradicate it. What I see on TV are episodes of personal racism, right, that people have, and they're real. And not one of us has the right to discount it if somebody else was treated like that. But to take that and say that's systemic and not one person being an asshole is different. I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix asshole. That's actually a bastardization. I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid. So it's the same statement. Okay. So again, and so I, when prominent people put that put people up about their thoughts on racism, I watch that stuff or I will read it, trying to get my hands around what exactly is the problem here. Okay. Cause I want to. So, I won't even give you names. Okay. Or maybe I should. Right. First guy's name is Arthur McAfee. He's from Longview, Texas, 61-year-old. Everybody here black. Everybody here unarmed. He's a Vietnam veteran. He was having a mental health episode. Police were called. He resisted. He was tased. He continued to fight. The fight gets to be a hand-to-hand struggle, and he's shot. Number two, Ronell Foster, 33 years old, from Vallejo, California. He's riding his bike. He's weaving in and out of traffic late at night. There's no light on the bike. The officer pulls him over. He runs. The officer chases him. He turns around and they fight. He gets the upper hand in the fight. He grabs the police officer's flashlight. The police officer says, "I thought he was going to bludgeon me with it, right? And I shot and killed him." Next one, Mario Bass, 37 years old, from Woodbridge, Virginia. ICE officer shot him. He was wanted for assault on a woman, multiple other aggravated assaults. He's in a hotel. They surround the hotel. He jumps out the back window, right? You know, ICE officers are there. There's a physical confrontation, right? It goes hand to hand, and he's shot. Shermichael Ezoff, 31 years old, East Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Victim approached the officer while the officer was at a motel on other business. He was already bleeding. He was having a, quote, psychotic episode. He assaults the police officer. He had already, unbeknownst to the police officer, had just committed a string of robberies. So I'm not sure. You know, they didn't come to a conclusion whether, you know, he thought the cop was there to arrest him. In the course of that struggle, he's shot. He assaults the police officer. That's what triggers it. Cameron Hall, 27, from Casa Grande, Arizona. In a domestic violence call, he assaults a police officer. He's tased. The fight continues. He's shot. Stephen Clark from Sacramento, California. A series of car burglaries, police helicopter sees him and follows him. Police officers chase him into a backyard. He's in the backyard. He pulls his phone out of his pocket as police tell him to stop and put his hands up. He raises the phone in front of him like it's a weapon. and he's coming towards the police officers as they shoot him. Right? Big deal in Sacramento. Next one. Danny Thomas, 35 years old, from Greenpoint, Texas. He's on PCP. He's acting erratically in the intersection, and he's got his pants off. He's foaming at the mouth. Right? Police officers show up. They're telling him what to do. He won't do it. He charges a police officer, and he's shot and killed. Juan Jones, 25, from Danville, Virginia. He had assaulted his girlfriend. He attempts to break down her door. 911's called. They show up to arrest him. They tell him to get out of his car. He takes off in his car, then into the woods. Right? Police pursue. The attempts to tase him fail because of the brush takes, you know, some of the taser little thingies. He then goes into the waist pants and raises his hands as if to shoot, and he's shot. Marcus Peters, 24, Richmond, Virginia. Series of sideswipe incidents as he's driving his car erratically. He crashes the car, right? He then gets out of his car and goes into traffic. He's sideswiped by a car, clearly disturbed, naked, screaming. As he approaches the police, he's tasered. He continues. And he fights with the police, and then he's shot. Antoine Rose, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now, this kid's an honor student. Okay, got a part-time job. He's in a vehicle that stopped that's been reported as being used in a drive-by. It has bullet holes in it. The three black males in the vehicle match a description given by the person who called 911 of the people that did a drive-by shooting. He's got an empty 9mm magazine in his pocket. There's a weapon in the vehicle. They get out. They flee. Police pursue. He's shot and killed. 17 years old from Pittsburgh. Cynthia Fields shouldn't be on this list. Right, her son is a convicted felon. Right, multiple charges of aggravated assault, attempted multiple charges of attempted armed robbery. He's in possession of a firearm as a felon. He was on his grandmother's porch. Police arrive. He exchanges gunfire with police. He ultimately shoots around that kills his grandmother. That's why she shouldn't be on the list, but she is. Right? It's there from Savannah, Georgia. James Leatherwood from Hollywood, Florida. He was suspected of murder. SWAT surround his apartment. He's believed to be armed and dangerous. He refuses to come out. He jumps out the back window. He makes contact with SWAT officers. He reaches into the waistband of his pants, and he's shot and killed. 23 years old. James Roundtree, 18, of San Antonio. He's at a drug house, right? Police move on the drug house. Another man on the porch reaches into his pants, pulls out a pistol. He's shot. One of the rounds that hits him goes through and through and kills James Leatherwood, Charles Roundtree, who's sitting on the couch. He's 18 years old from San Antonio. So that's an accident. Jesse Quinton, vehicle stopped by a police officer. He flees. Police officer chases him. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. At some point, he turns around and an altercation ensues. He's on top of the law enforcement officer. He has the upper hand. The police tells him, stop or I'll shoot. He's attempting to strangle the police officer. Police officer shoots a single round and kills him. Danny Washington. Jesse Quinton was 35 from Idaho Falls, Idaho. Danny Washington, 27, from Franklin Township, Pennsylvania. Pulled over officers approach. He begins to scuffle with one of the officers. Second officer is in the area, is moving towards them. During the struggle, they spin, hit the second officer as he approaches. His weapon discharges and kills Danny Washington. Now, that's all 17 of them, right? And you can see that the guy acting erratically in the intersection was on, who was PCP, right? Who you would say he would, this officer was fired. And the criticism was the guy's clearly out of his mind. You know, why didn't you use your taser? Well, good question, right? So he's fired. He was charged and acquitted. And he's black. So when you go through these things and you footnote them, and I mean, and let me tell you what I did. What I started doing was I'd search the name and the city, and the stories pop up. And then I got smart, and I type in at the end, you know, not charged. And then, so you'd get the second group of articles, which is, you know, what happened when, you know, they routinely are not charged. And you read the whole story after it all comes out. And so, to me, if you listen, right, and if you define the problem, to me, what you've got to get through to young black men is when the police show up, just stop. Don't resist. Don't fight cops. No matter what color you are, and you can read the same group of stories for white guys that are unarmed to get shot by cops. They either try to run them down or they fight them and they die. And they're dying at higher rates than blacks are dying. So that's my admonition. If you're serious about this problem, you got to listen. You got to make yourself smart in order to help solve the problem. But I will tell you this. The problem as it exists in our country is not simply police violence on unarmed people. That has come down steadily over the course of 5 years. And you can see, with the exception of one or two events, that most of these are justified under the use of deadly force. As a cop, you're not required to die in the line of duty because you don't want to hurt somebody. You have the right to defend yourself. When somebody attacks you, and then if they get the upper hand and you fear for your life, that's all, for the most part, that's all a jury needs to hear. But again, I don't want to get sidetracked on that. What I want to get to is the way we have to move forward, right? And it's going to be interesting because the success of the Black Lives Matter movement has happened not by virtue of listening, not by virtue of sitting down and having constructive dialogues. And so what's going to be very interesting is when this daddy all gets rolled out and we sit at a table and we say, okay, how do we make this better? And then you get the other statistics rolled in there and we look around. And there's certain touch points that make this worse. Now, you know, to me, you got to get to young black girls, and you got to say, you don't get pregnant. You keep yourself in this circumstance. You perpetuate this, and you keep your children in this circumstance when you get pregnant. So do not get pregnant. And that has to be a rallying cry. Get educated. Don't get pregnant. Have a life full of choice and a life full of success. Have the life that you choose. Okay? It's called birth control. Practice it. And so those hard issues. Now, for white America, all these incidents that people are talking about that we want to dismiss, They're real. And I would tell you, they're not so, I don't, when I listen to them, and I do, to me, they're not indicative of systemic prejudice, which I think the nation has gone to great lengths to stamp out. Now, does it still exist? I'm sure it does. But I think if bring the evidence, and people will change that. But what you're hearing is, I had some asshole, right, not wait on me. I had somebody treat me like I didn't exist. I had somebody, right, ask me as an officer in the military if I was actually an officer because I was black. You know, yesterday, the presumptive chief of staff of the Air Force, are you a pilot? Well, nobody else got asked that question, but I did. And so, I mean, and so those are real. But what I see is I was treated by some asshole in a way that a racist treats somebody else. Okay, now the only way you eradicate that is through education. It's through education. So that's my admonition to everybody is listen first. Listen to what they're saying. Because there's too many people on broadcast. And let me tell you, the fact that the data behind the quote-unquote genocide of black men in America does not invalidate the individual examples of racism that those people have experienced. And what I see is too many people using one piece of data to migrate it over to another argument to say the argument their argument's bullshit. Well, their argument's not bullshit. Racism does exist in this country. I mean, look at the nation. Clearly reacted to it. Now, the question is, where does it go from here? I got an email yesterday. And it's under truth. It's titled truth. Unfortunately, I feel like I have to preface my statement with, I'm not a racist. In response to the current events, I'm saddened, angry, resentful, tired. Some wise man once said the truth needs no salesman. Well, people have to hear the truth to receive it. We ain't getting it. Right? The quote is actually, the truth lands with a thud and needs no salesman. I made that up. I started listening to Kevin Hart and his PCB, Plastic Cup Boys. They're usually hilarious. I've recently been really surprised and actually hurt by how a couple of the boys openly hate white people. They make no bones about it. All whites are evil. The only reason I cite them is the hypocrisy of the racism accusation. We are told only white people can be racist. There is and always will be racism, just as there will always be good and evil, black and white. Would we have been any less horrified by the Floyd murder video if it had been a white man? I hope not. As usual, it seems some will use the situation to push an agenda. I believe in this case, people are being manipulated into feeling guilty for things they are not responsible for. I will never take a knee or apologize for being white or Christian. I will live my life and love my neighbor and treat others as I want to be treated. It is that easy. Now, that person's white. Okay. So to me, right, what we've seen the last, going on 2 weeks, has been this explosion. The question is, where does that go? Where does that go? How do we take, sit down and look at the issues and make this country, which is the most advanced country in the world relative to race relations. Okay? I say this. The Spanish cabinet does not have Asian people in it. Right? It is not the color of the rainbow. It tends to be Spanish men. Go around the world and look at who leads nation. And then look at, right, the rainbow that you get in the United States. Now, again, we could be critical of ourselves, but it's the most advanced nation in the world relative to race relations. I tell the story, you know, I've told it here more than once, of being a lieutenant in Korea, and a Korean, I'm a second lieutenant, I get, my platoon gets attached to a Korean company. This captain, by the name of Park, he asks me if I actually believe that blacks are my equal. Yeah. In front of all his lieutenants. Yeah, Lieutenant McNamara. Yes, sir. Do you actually believe that blacks are your equal? And so you go around the world and, you know, you see things. And then you come back to the United States and we think, oh, it's so horrible here. I mean, most of the rest of the world hasn't been through the 60s yet. And so what can we do to make the country better? Well, I mean, it starts by listening. And again, Will Cosentini's words over and over in my head, what problem are we solving? Okay. What problem are we solving? And if you start there, right, and you genuinely want to do good, you know, go to the facts, go to the data, and have a discussion of how do you make it better. We're not there yet. I think everybody knows that. We're not there yet. We're still, everybody's still screaming at each other. So we'll see where this goes. Hopefully the adults show up, you know, and again, I mean, even yesterday you saw it. The political grandstanding, right? You had what, the head of the city council in Minneapolis say, I envision a city that doesn't require a police force. And you're just like, God bless you, man. I wish I could live in that world. I want to live there too. I want to live there too. But I don't live there. And so how do you take me there? Can you take me there? And, you know, you had Joe Biden, among other people, yesterday say, you cannot defund the police. But that's where, I mean, how do we get to the serious part of the discussion so that we can talk about these things? And how do we have, you know, how do we have a message that focuses on the police? But also, you know, in all the things I read, let me tell you something that you didn't hear. Something you didn't hear was, you know, black male gets out of his vehicle, right, puts his hands in the air, and then is shot by police. You didn't hear that. So I'll go back to something Charles Barkley said years ago, and that is, you know, to my cop friends, we're all not gangbangers. To my black brothers, cooperate with the police when they show up, and it tends to work out all right. So anyway, good morning after all of that on a Tuesday. Alex Holling is going to join me in about, I don't know, probably 20 minutes. And we're going to talk about some of this stuff. One of the things I want to ask Alex is, you know, the New York Times made a decision to let go their opinion page editor. And it ought to send chills through everybody because, you know, an opinion page is supposed to do more than, you know, talk to the echo chamber. It's supposed to encourage discussion. And so what happened was this editor in the Wall Street Journal, he included, I mean, I think everybody knows, an editorial by Tom Cotton, senator, and what he did was he got fired. The paper initially said, hey, you know, it's the opinion page. We're supposed to do this. And then it went from that to there was such an uproar caused by writers in the New York Times that they he was then either fired or resigned, one of the two, you pick it. So now we're to the point in American journalism where even on the opinion page you can't tolerate somebody else's opinion. And that is from the quote unquote one of the two leading newspapers in the nation. You know, the New York Times, the standard for newspapers. I mean that's pretty disturbing stuff. And the New York Times has just run op-eds from Vladimir Putin, from Erdogan Precep, from Turkey. From Turkey. You know, Maduro from, who is he? Nicaragua right now? And they run those, but Senator Cotton. And so, I mean, to me, that's the United States. Democracy, freedom of speech. And the Washington Post has a tagline that says, democracy dies in darkness. Well, darkness descends when you stop having an active debate, when you stifle opinions, when somebody doesn't get to sit at the table. And that's what the New York Times is doing. Pretty shocking stuff. But anyhow, good morning to you on this Tuesday. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. And this is dedicated to the proposition of listening first, then asking yourself, what problem are we solving, and then engaging your mouth.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather in Marineland. We'll take a break. We'll check the news, and then Alex Hollings will join us. Currently in Quantico, partly sunny and 80 degrees down the coast of Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny and 83. 29 Palms, sunny and 75 right now. Pendleton, sunny and 81. You don't see it very often where Camp Pendleton is warmer than 29 Palms, but that is the case today. Camp Smith in Hawaii, sun coming up, cloudy and 73. Okinawa, dark cloudy 76. In South Central Afghanistan, it is clear, dark and 90. Clear evening and 90. And then in Ramadi, in the western part of Iraq, it is sunny and 104. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, it is... Hold on, I'll tell you. It is sunny and 76 degrees. Looking for a high of 90 today. Heat advisory in effect. Tomorrow, 85. On Thursday, 80. So a warm week here in Southern California. We'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll take a look at the news. And there's a whole bunch of interesting stuff in the news, so don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, we continue. The post-traumatic winning's going to get fired up again. I'm excited about that. And when my projects are done, I have to start writing again. Top headlines. Top headline in Stars and Stripes today is Army Secretary says he's open to renaming 10 posts named for Confederates. Let me see if I can name most of these guys. Huh. I didn't realize some of these had posts named after them. Well, I know Fort Polk. I know Fort Bragg. A.P. Hill. Robert E. Lee. Longstreet. That looks like Nathan Bedford Forrest, if I'm not mistaken. Braxton Bragg. Pickett. Henry Benning, as in Fort Benning. A.P. Hill. Leonidas Polk, bottom row. Oh. John Brown Gordon, not Nathan Bedford Forrest. Yeah, I was going to be surprised. John Bell Hood is in Fort Hood in Texas. Robert E. Lee, Edmund Rucker, and Beauregard. So those 10. Let me tell you this. I don't believe in whitewashing our history. Right, I believe that you build a museum, you retire the name, you name it after somebody who didn't participate in an insurrection against your country. Okay, but again, I think you need to explain why they were named for that. The bloodiest war in the history of the country was the American Civil War. In order to bind the wounds as the nation came back together, Confederates were allowed to put up monuments. And these bases were named after Confederate generals. Now, I think what's important that everybody understand is the truth in all of that. And if you only tell part of the story, right, I think it does a disservice to those learning in particular. So, top headline in Stars and Stripes today. There's another story, killing of a Utah Marine in Afghanistan. He was major, and an Afghan commander fatally shot a Utah mayor serving in the National Guard in 2018 had planned the killing for weeks, according to an Army investigative report. So that is in the news today. And that's just a horrible story, right? The other horrible story that's unfolding is news from a California sheriff. Air Force gunman was very intent on killing police. This is an Air Force sergeant. I saw a staff sergeant also reported yesterday. But this article confirms that it's a sergeant. His name is Stephen Carrillo. He was armed with homemade bombs, an AR-15 rifle, and other weapons, had a desire to harm police when he launched a deadly attack on unsuspecting officers over the weekend. Gunfire and explosives rained down from a hillside Saturday afternoon. Well, he's a staff sergeant. As Staff Sergeant Stephen Carrillo fired from the high ground onto police who scrambled to find cover and defend themselves. Quote, he was very intent on killing these police officers. They had no idea they were about to get into a gunfight. One deputy, Sergeant Damon Goodwaller, was shot and killed. Another deputy was shot in the chest. His bulletproof vest saved him. Suffered shrapnel wounds from an explosive device and then was struck by Carrillo's vehicle as the suspect fled his home. Carrillo escaped, carjacked a vehicle, and tried to carjack several others before being subdued through the efforts of a heroic resident. The man saw Carrillo in his backyard and confronted him. Carrillo, armed with an AR-15, demanded the man's car keys. The man retrieved the keys, gave them to Carrillo, and when Carrillo turned away, the man tackled him. The rifle fell away from him. As they struggled, Carrillo pulled a pipe bomb from his pants and tried unsuccessfully to light it. He then pulled out a pistol, and the man was able to knock it out of his hands and then subdue him as his neighbors came to help. This guy could have done more damage to our community. The man who subdued Carrillo does not want to be publicly identified. But the sheriff's department plans to award him a medal. Carrillo suffered a gunshot wound at some point, was being treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The FBI also believes Carrillo, 32, has many links to the killing of a federal security officer who was shot outside the Oakland courthouse during a protest against police about the mistreatment of black people on May 29th. Authorities said the gunman opened fire from a white van. Carrillo owns a white van. So, just an amazing story. Carrillo was a team leader for the Phoenix Ravens at Travis Air Force Base northeast of San Francisco, between San Francisco and Sacramento, as part of the 60th Security Force Squadron. The Phoenix Ravens are tasked with protecting aircraft and crews from assaults on airfield where security is unknown or additional security is needed to counter local threats. He has no record of disciplinary issues during his military career. He's been deployed a total of 4 months in 2019 to Kuwait. His wife, also in the Air Force, she was found dead at an off-base hotel in 2018, stationed in South Carolina. Her death was ruled a suicide. Carrillo was in California at the time of his wife's suicide. He's not a suspect. He's scheduled to be arraigned on Friday and charged with first-degree murder. Amazing. Fundraising site for the Goodwaller family, set up by the state's largest law enforcement organization, has raised more than $230,000 by Monday afternoon. He's survived by a pregnant wife and one child. Amazing. You've probably seen it on TV, but there was a KC-130 that evidently missed the airfield. The crash of the C-130 in Iraq's Camp Taji injured four service members, was deemed an accident. The spokesman said the plane overshot the runway and crashed into a wall. Like, what? How do you overshoot the runway? I mean, it's 90 degrees and clear in Iraq today. Another story, this one coming out of Las Vegas. FBI found weapons, booby traps, after arrest of an Army reservist, a Navy vet, and an Air Force vet, according to police reports. FBI agent found rags, gasoline, aerosol cans, weapons, along with booby traps, fireworks, and handwritten notes of military and survival tactics while serving a search warrant on three Nevada men who authorities say sought to spark violence during recent Las Vegas protests, according to police reports. U.S. prosecutor says Stephen Parshall, 35, Andrew Lyman, 23, and William Loomis, 40, have ties to a loose movement of right-wing extremists advocating for the overthrow of the U.S. government. Unbelievable. Also in the news today, Germany, American troop reduction could harm NATO security. Let me tell you what harms NATO security there, all you Germans. You not having a military. That's what harms NATO security, you bunch of fucking knuckleheads. Seriously, I cannot even believe Germany has the unmitigated gall to say this shit. Germany's defense minister suggested Monday that U.S. President Donald Trump's reported plans to withdraw more than a quarter of American troops out of Germany could weaken not only the NATO alliance, but the U.S. itself. Hey, here's an idea. Why don't you replace our troops with your own? It's a joke. Germany's a joke. And them talking anything defense is a joke. Next headline. House Armed Service Committee, Pentagon clash over Esper and Milley testimony. You know, it's kind of weird, right? So the chairman, I think his name's Adam Smith, of the House Armed Service Committee, wants to find out what the hell happened last week. So he wants to hold a hearing. Adam Smith is his name, right? Democrat Washington. So they were invited, Secretary Esper and Chairman Milley were invited to testify. It's kind of the oversight piece, right? So they refused. They didn't refuse. They've turned down a request to testify in front of the House Armed Service Committee. A House aide confirmed on background that the two men have refused to testify as of last week. How do you refuse? Representative Smith said it was unacceptable. The House Armed Service made the request and it has been denied. That is simply unacceptable. Isn't that oversight? I mean, to me, it's going to be about grandstanding, right? But don't they have the obligation? How do they say no? I don't want to. No, not doing it. From my favorite website, Just the News. Postal Service revenues jumped during the pandemic despite warnings of massive losses and insolvency. First of all, we don't need mail delivered every day, I don't think. How about we cut it to 4 days a week? We'll give everybody Wednesday off. Or we'll have a rolling day where you don't get your mail. Like Matt gets his mail on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Doesn't no mail delivery on Wednesday or Saturday. Why don't we do that? Does that help? Are you going to be able to cut payroll if you do that? So good for the Postal Service, man. I thought they were going out of business. Another story. Philippines freezes pullout from visiting U.S. forces agreement. What? I thought Mr. Duterte said that they were done. The Philippine government is putting the brakes on its plan to end a critical aspect of its mutual defense treaty with the U.S., but experts say it's too soon to tell whether this decision signals a warming relationship between the two allies. On June 1, the government of the Philippines notified the U.S. Embassy in Manila that it froze a February decision to withdraw from the Philippine-United States Visiting Forces Agreement, or VFA. The agreement between the two countries eases the ability for the U.S. to send military forces to the Philippines and supports a mutual defense treaty and the U.S. and Philippine government signed in 1951. The U.S. Embassy in Manila released a statement saying last week, quote, "The United States welcomes the Philippine government's decision. Our longstanding alliance has benefited both countries, and we look forward to continued close security and defense cooperation with the Philippines." I think they probably pulled that out of the archives. Yeah. However, regional analysts warn not to assume that Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte, Grant taught me how to say his name, is signaling a desire to return to the way things were. More than likely, a couple of realizations occurred inside Duterte's inner circle. Without the VFA or something like it, it is more difficult for the U.S. and the Philippines to cooperate in defending Philippine interests. The U.S. can't just operate, to which we did, right? I can't remember the Southern Islands name. I want to say Mindanao, where they have a Muslim problem down there. U.S. Special Forces help there. Yeah. Yeah. Second factor is Philippine leadership has other concerns about how their relationship with the U.S. is working. The U.S. runs a steady pace of freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea, but these operations do not stop Chinese expansion in the region. A FONOP operation is great, but it's not a deterrent. It's a legal argument with a warship because you're registering opposition to an excessive claim. But as the Chinese always say, the Americans don't stay. They leave. So anyway, as expected, right, our relationship with the Philippines, complicated. Mr. Duterte, a complicated guy. Email. Mac, always curious, could you lay out your argument for renaming the Confederate bases? It's a pretty simple one. I think there was a time when that was acceptable, the names, and I think if you look at the history of why we did it, understandable, right? But I think that day has come and gone, and I think it's unreasonable to ask black Americans to serve on bases that are named and that honor Americans what they're chiefly noted for is fighting against the government that they swore an oath to at one point, right? In a proposition that advanced slavery. So, I mean, I don't think, honestly, to me, it's a no-brainer. Should have done a long time ago. When should you have done it? As soon as you integrated the armed forces. Yeah, we're not going to ask black guys to go serve on a base that honors somebody who, you know, tried to, who fought to keep them in, you know, who would have kept them enslaved. Yeah, not going to do that. So, to me, it's pretty simple, right? And there's no shortage of, you know, of outstanding, you know, black soldiers of all races that you could name those bases after. So I think it's pretty, in my opinion, no-brainer. Top five stories in Early Bird, and then Alex Holling is going to join us. Number one, SecDef and Army Secretary open to renaming post name for Confederate generals. Speaking of the Army Secretary, Ryan McCarthy, you know, the story's coming out of what the hell was going on with those Army helicopters during the protest, go back to the highest levels of the United States Army in conjunction with, you know, the National Guard. And Ryan McCarthy's name's in the middle of all of it. If he did not have the good sense not to do that, then somebody needs to look into him going away. Number two, travel restrictions lifted by DOD at these states and these host nations. So the DOD continues to come out of its deep freeze. Number three, key debate on military protest response. Budget priorities set to happen behind closed doors on Capitol Hill. They won't stay behind closed doors for long, trust me. So if it's going on behind closed doors, I would think it would be in the Senate, not the House. Right. Number four, four injured as CH-130 overruns a runway in Iraq. So we talked about that. Plan to pull American troops from Germany worries U.S. lawmakers. Look, be interesting to hear a discussion about that. But honestly, Germany's killing us in a lot of different ways. Send them to Poland. Overseas operation. Erdogan says, he's the head of Turkey, right? Turkey and the United States have reached an agreement concerning Libya. Now, Turkey flexing their muscle in Libya. Go figure, right? Navy sends another guided missile destroyer through the Taiwan Strait. Again, FONOPS and the Russian laughs at them. Yeah, they just did a drive-by. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Alex Hollings joins us here on a Tuesday morning. So don't touch that dial. Always interesting. It's been a while, too. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.